Well, I knew when I came back, the first people I wanted on the air besides my surgeon was my friends from the Argyle Brewing Company. A lot's been happening, actually. Right before I hurt myself, just this amazing thing happened. Now, here's the story. So New York has had dry towns, where places where you just couldn't sell liquor, alcohol of any kind. Argyle, New York, was one of those places. Well, the Argyle Brewing Company says, oh, well, we're going to make beer, but we can't sell it in our town because our town is dry. So they moved over and they opened up in Greenwich in 2014, which, if you're keeping score at home, is almost six years ago. So they were unable to open in their own town, so they opened in Greenwich. Their slogan was Dry Town, Wet Basements. Well, now they need a new slogan because the measure went to the voters on Election Day last November and was overwhelmingly passed at the polls. So the Argyle Brewing Company could, I don't know if you're going to, but you could sell in Argyle, which you couldn't do before. But they're still in Greenwich, thank goodness. They're also in Cambridge, New York. They are a New York State farm brewery. The brewer trio that I am thrilled to call dear, dear friends, Matt Stewart, Chris Castrio, and Rich Thomas. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you all?
Doing well.
Thank you so much for having us, Joe.
Welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back. We would be lying to the listeners if I said I haven't seen you a lot over the last several weeks. But this is absolutely true. When they told me, I had a PT appointment, and I got up, and they said, if you can get into a car, you could go for a ride. And I said, oh, well, let's try to get into the car. And I got into the car, and they said, well, where would you like to go? And I said, I would like to go to the Argyle Brewing Company.
And we were glad to have you.
And that is exactly where I went. And 2.5 weeks later, I left. So, how are you? How's business? Oh, how's everything going?
Things are great. Yeah.
Well, most people don't realize that not only do we brew beer, but we, you know, do therapy.
Yeah. Well, you're good at that. Yes. You're good at that. So let me ask you. So has the rule in Argyle changed your life in any way?
Not the Argyle Brewing Company per se. I guess we'd be nice to get into the Stewart's on the corner or something like that.
Yeah.
But, we don't have any plans to open anything quite there. So I have another endeavor but that's different.
Yeah, right. Which is, so it's interesting though, because obviously you now in the last 6 years have made a name for yourself and people know Argyle Brewing Company, right, but they think of you in either Greenwich or Cambridge.
Yeah. It's
a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
But I am looking forward to it personally. Living in the village of Argyle, to see, you know, like some of the charity stuff we do, it would be nice maybe to couple it with tastings and things of that nature that other communities have been able to do. So it's going to be a win-win.
Yeah. No. It opens up some options that we didn't have before, for sure.
Now, Matt, you grew up in Argyle.
Yep.
So you grew up under the grip,
the regime,
this totalitarian grip,
absolutely,
of prohibition in your town. So it must be freeing, isn't it?
It is. It is. The only thing that's a bummer for me is there's this game. If you grew up in Argyle, you always play where, if you ask someone, you know, where in the town or village of Argyle they grew up, you could guess where they went for beer. You know, where I grew up in the Goose Island area, when it was open, was the Belcher store. Just over the hill, you could take your four-wheeler there or whatever.
Yeah.
So
when you were 21.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was so cool. You know, you could figure that stuff out. So other than that, I think, it's a really cool thing. I think I'm in agreement with a lot of other people, and you know, it's just about time. You know?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, does that mean that there's sort of, because of prohibition, because of dry towns, there's still even a stigma? This is what I find so fascinating about your brewery and your business, is that there may be a stigma when I say to people I'm going down to the brewery, people immediately think bar. But when you go in there, it's moms, dads, kids, dogs. I mean, it's everybody.
Community gathering place.
Very much so.
Yep.
And maybe they'll have a beer, maybe they won't.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's sort of how you designed it, right?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. We worked hard to cultivate that kind of feel. And to be honest, it wasn't that hard, I don't think. We were just basically providing the space, and the people we get are the greatest.
I mean, the things that you did at the very beginning I thought were brilliant. One is you don't have bar stools, and two, you don't have a television.
Yeah. Well, television was definitely right out of the gate. We were like, nope. There's so many places that have that. It's too many who have way too many televisions.
Yeah. Right.
And it's hard to even concentrate. So that was definitely a conscientious decision right out of the gate. Yeah. The bar stools, that was a forced upon decision that ended up working out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we,
well, I mean, I don't want to give people the impression you can sit down there.
We can.
Absolutely.
But it's not like you belly up to the bar and you stay there all day.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And not having the stools there, came out of regulations.
Another archaic law that needs to be turned around, Chris?
Apparently, yes.
But it keeps it dynamic in there. You know, people talk to each other, instead of staring at a TV screen or their phone.
We have been just a melting pot for so many people from so many different walks of life, and just new relationships and friendships started up. And it's just been... it's been an absolute blast to watch not only that happen, but just the most amazing, friends that we've made over the years too. I mean, they're not patrons.
Absolutely.
They're just friends. That's awesome.
Well, speaking of melting, I went over on Sunday afternoon and I walk out and one of the regulars turns to me and says, "Hey, do you want to go curling?" And I looked at my braces on my leg, and I looked at him, and I said, "Do you think I want to go curling?"
Maybe not right now.
Well, maybe a proxy tosser.
If you brought your little, walker.
Yeah. But that's cool.
Yeah.
You get curling now. That's
good.
Yeah,
I have a curling sheet.
Yeah, that was a few years in the making. A neighbor friend of ours, we were in Montreal at the same time, and we might have had a beer or two, and we were watching the Olympics, and this curling came out, and it was like, wow, And I always had hopes to go to the Olympics, and this is probably the sport I could do it with.
Yep.
The wrestling is over, I'm not going to run the mile, it's just so.
Recreating those Olympic moments.
And we've been talking about it last year. We thought we were going to pull it off, and then... And then
there was a leak.
There was.
We took care of that.
Yeah. But that's all fixed.
Yeah, we have 2.0 out there now.
Yeah. That's great.
It's looking pretty good.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It looks amazing.
It
looks
a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Curling stones are expensive, though. So we're...
You have milk cartons.
Yeah, milk,
milk cartons.
Yeah.
With
ice.
And colored.
Yeah.
Food coloring.
Yep.
Everyone was having a great time.
It's a lot of fun.
And Matt, you oversee the Cambridge location, and of course, music is becoming your bread and butter too.
Yeah, and I have to give credit where credit is due with that. We have an amazing guy named David Van Pelt who works with us, and if you want to say hi to him, he's there on Wednesdays and Sundays. But he has really taken the music program to the next level. We're trying to find out the way to describe it, and I think we've described it the best as the coolest music venue east of the Hudson, west of Vermont. Therefore the Vermont border doesn't quite come across the Capital District. So it's our own little niche there. But we've been very, very lucky. We've been getting some amazing musicians in there, either from the local area, ranging out. We've had musicians in from Las Vegas, St. Louis,
Texas,
New York City, Wisconsin. I mean, and just these artists begin. We had Missy Raines in there last year, and she was just nominated for a Grammy for bluegrass category. So it's been really fun just to see this place. And the thing a lot of the musicians say, and what makes the space, we've turned into something really special, is that a lot of the artists that come in, though it's a smaller space, they say it's one of the more intimidating spaces they've played, because a lot of these musicians are used to playing, if they're used to playing in a bar or whatever, they're used to all the chatter and everything. But when you have a room, no matter the size, with all the undivided attention on the musician, they say it gets a little unnerving, and they got to play their best. And with the acoustics in the room in there and the sound system, we had donated an awesome gesture. It's just an incredible space to check out live music.
I should mention it's an old train depot. So
yes,
it's absolutely
is. Yeah.
Gorgeous. It's
yes.
all oak and just absolutely beautiful. Yep. Okay, blah, 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 let's drink.
I was wondering when we get to that.
Come on,
Joe.
Great talking to everybody, but where's the beer?
Matt, cut.
So you have, look, you have been around for a long time now, 6 years in this business is a long time, and which is great. And what I have learned is that the reason you do so well is because you have really great beer. So let's talk about it. What is... Rich, let me, as far as,
sure.
like, would you think seasonally, is that how you will often think, or?
Yeah, we definitely do. We always have some special beers that will roll out, you know, depending on what season we're in. But I think our major focus is to always have a wide variety. You know, we might have a lighter blonde or a cream ale, and at the same time a heftier stout on tap. So we want people to have that variety, you know, depending. It doesn't matter what time of the year.
All right. So where do you want to start?
Let's see what we got here.
What are you in the mood for?
You look thirsty, Joe.
What's newest?
Is there Witch's Brew in there?
There is Witch's Brew.
All right. Now, what is Witch's Brew?
That's a bitter chocolate oatmeal stout.
So
we also call it Joe's favorite.
Yeah. Now, let me just say, so it was a couple, you, I don't know, you've been making this for, I think, pretty much since
pretty
you opened.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time.
But the first
we've been
time
open.
I had it, I brought it to Thanksgiving, and it just knocked me on my ass.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you. You know, and that meant less family time. And for that, I thank you.
But
you can taste the chocolate.
Yes. We try to keep it balanced. We're not trying to knock you out with the overall overwhelming alcohol flavor.
But what is the alcohol in it?
The alcohol in this batch is 7.4%.
It was higher, though, before, wasn't it?
It's usually hovering around there. It may have been 7.6, maybe, the first time you had it.
Yeah.
But we try to throw some fun dark malts in there to layer it and... you know, give it some depth.
Yeah.
Now, when you say depth, how does something that is so thick become light when you drink it? Do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't. It's not heavy when you drink it.
Yeah. A lot of that has to do with the malts that you choose. You know, the rest when you're designing the recipe, you can make it thick and chewy if you wanted to, and to do that, you might add some higher protein malts or some wheat. We chose not to do that with this beer because we wanted to have that chocolate malt complexity, but not too heavy either, not too chewy, not like having a meal.
No.
Yeah.
And the so do you have a beer that's like that, that's chewy?
I don't know that we do right now. Most of ours are on the session ale category, we'd call, in terms of alcohol and body.
Because even the oatmeal.
Yeah, even the oatmeal is not a big, thick, chewy
beer. It's a nice pub
beer.
Style.
It's a pub style, yeah.
That's a very, very popular.
Yeah. Well, what is
easy
most,
to drink.
What is most popular?
Well, on any given day throughout the year, it's going to be, you know, hop to it IPA.
Yeah.
And IPAs are kind of king right now. But that's starting to turn a little bit. We don't, you know, we might have one or two IPAs out at any given time where some breweries... kind of all they do, but we like to spread it out quite a bit.
Now, what's in the winter warmer?
Oh, the winter warmer.
When you were saying chew, I was thinking of that a little bit. I mean, it's a spice ale.
Christmas ale.
Yeah, and it's good for this time of year.
I missed that completely.
Oh, we still got some, Joe.
You brought some.
Brought some.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I missed that completely. I was.
The winter warmer is great. It's a,
I had
it's
a good a, excuse.
Yeah, it was a it's a nice, you know, amber ale, but we throw in brown sugar, we throw in cinnamon sticks, cardamom, cloves,
figs, raisins.
Am I missing allspice?
Allspice.
Yeah,
we throw it all in there.
Yeah, but it's all tossed in halfway through the boil, so it's not crazy intense on the spices. So it's just a nice balanced spice ale. So instead of like drinking a Yankee Candle.
Well, you know, mentioning that, I think maybe 2 years ago, I'm sitting at the bar, and a gentleman comes in, and he is getting a growler of Winter Warmer. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, there you go. That's a great way to celebrate. Go home, watch some football. Good for you.
Absolutely.
Great thing. And I said, well, you enjoy that. And he turned to me and he goes, oh, well, you know what I do? And I said, no, what do? And he said, I take it and I put it on my wood stove.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm thought, what the hell's the matter with you?
Kind of like like a mulled cider.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. I think they let it evaporate and sort of be like a potpourri.
Oh, yes, I actually do the same thing at my house around the holidays. It really does bring a festive scent to the house. Just to, you know, I dilute it in some water, but you don't need to use much beer at all. Kind of like it's kind of like if you're using beer and baking a recipe or something like that. Just use that amount in your humidifier in your wood stove. And
you can drink it too.
Yes.
You just put a wick in a keg.
Yes.
A wick in a keg.
Yes.
There you go. One of my favorite stories about the brewery is a whole bunch of us there, a lot of the regulars were all sitting there, and a kid comes in and he's with his mom, and the mom says, oh, he turns 21 today. Tyler turns 21. And we'd like to get him his first, you know, okay. And
we play along.
And they get the full flight, just a full flight. And Tyler, because he's drinking with mom, has maybe a sip. And she goes, do you want any more? He goes, no, I'm good. So then they walk out. So there are basically 8 full glasses on the bar. It took your customers, myself included, about 14 seconds.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we have no pride.
Nothing goes to waste.
Beer, for God's sakes.
What's wrong with you people?
No. Why do people like IPAs?
Well, it's like art. It depends. You know, it's a palate thing, and some people don't. You know, some people, that's
there are
the
a
last
lot of
thing
people
they
that
want.
Don't.
Now, my understanding, this is rule of thumb, and this is a paints with a very large, broad brush. Yeah. But I have heard that brewers don't especially like making them, but people do like drinking them.
I may have heard that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely heard that.
I mean, some brewers just that's their jam. They just love to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
play around with the hops because it's a hoppy varietal. And,
yeah.
You know, there's so many different hops to play with these days. It's kind of fun, but
every brewery's different. I mean, if you're an IPA brewery, that's what you do,
right?
I think we tend to look to other styles in part because being a farm brewery, we try to use the hops that are local and that grow well in this climate. And some of the varieties that are very popular in the trendy New England style IPAs just don't grow well around here.
Yeah.
So part of that is just we need to use what we can get locally, and sometimes that's not good for an IPA.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I said in the introduction, you know, you think of getting together on Super Bowl Sunday and having beer or wine, whatever. And so, I mean, but it's pretty much what you like, right? It doesn't really matter.
I must say, it is always fun. I work the depot every Saturday, and I'm there for the whole day, and you get people from all walks of life coming in. And I think we've all heard it before, too, that one of the coolest thing is when we get people that come in and they're thanking us for making something other than IPAs and for making beers. I'd say across the board, our average alcohol percentage, it's probably like 5.5% alcohol.
Sure. Yeah.
So we make sessionable beers across the board where someone can come in and have a pint or two and not be floored and carry on, you know, conversations with everyone. So that always is nice to hear because there's, you know, like I said, there's so many breweries out there that specialize on different things, and especially with us being a farm brewery, you know, a lot of farm breweries out there you can actually hold a different license. You can hold a farm brewery license and a regular microbrewery license, which will give you access to make some of these New England styles that with stuff not grown in New York soil. But our mission right off the bat was to support and proudly support New York agriculture. So we've stuck to our guns and we've stayed a farm brewery the whole time. So like our IPA, for example, it's a more of a West Coast session style IPA because we can utilize hops grown in New York. So you kind of like that old school kind of thinking back to like Stone Brewing, for example, kind of that vibe. Yeah.
It is also the fact that there are a million breweries opening up. They're all over the place. They're popping up in every town because they're cool, and and it's a big thing, and people like them. What I find interesting about your community is that for the most part, you all seem to welcome that competition, not even competition, but you welcome them to the the block.
Well, more the better, really, especially in our areas, you know, where it's not it's not overcrowded yet.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it even could be, and you know, it's also we all kind of tend to be, you know, community based, and kind of going back to, you were saying, you know, well, you know, what do you know to brew and stuff like that? We listen to our customers, you know, they a lot of things will be coming on online, you know, we're inspired by our customers. One of them is my daughter. She's graduating college this year, and she has a specific beer she wants Rich to play with. So, and you know, it's nice having a chemist on board, and you know, talking about IPAs, we have a gluten reduced, not gluten free, but gluten reduced IPA.
Now, I've been aware of this being in the works for like years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it on the board. You have it written in the back. You've been working on it for a long time. What goes into that?
Trade secret.
Well, here's my. You want it to be good, right? I mean, you want it to be good.
Both with, so you can back to back it if you want.
Yeah. But so I'll try the gluten here. Well, I'll try it.
So that's actually our hop 2 at IPA that has had the gluten levels reduced in it. So the approach that we're taking is to take beers that we already produce and reduce the gluten levels in them. And so, that way a customer can come in and maybe they're a fan of the red ale, but they're having a little gluten sensitivity. They can ask for the red ale that's gluten reduced in the tap next to the normal red ale. So we're going to start kind of phasing that sort of thing in. If you were to brew a truly gluten-free beer, you would not be able to use barley, wheat, or rye. You'd be using things like sorghum and millet and... Those are very different.
They sound good.
Mm. And I saw your eyes glazing over.
And then we throw a food bag on.
And if I'm not mistaken, we'd probably need to make it truly gluten-free, we'd have to brew in a completely different facility.
We wouldn't be able to use the same fermenters and
so
and
if you're somebody like a guy, I'll just make up a name, Devin.
Sure.
Who would they be able to drink a gluten reduced beer without dying?
Yes.
So we would say if you have a full blown celiac condition, no.
Yeah. Shouldn't even be in a brewery.
A sensitivity, you know, everybody knows their dietary restrictions, and
we'll make up a couple names like Devin, Chris, Dan.
Yeah.
That might have this issue.
Also,
you know,
known as guinea pigs.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we were, you know, truthful about it and just say, hey, listen, this is what we're trying out. You know, are you willing to, I mean, you know, go for it? And bar none, for those just with the sensitivity, it's been great. And I mean, I do have a sensitivity, and so I'm always like, come on, guys, let's do this. So it's kind of self-serving.
You wouldn't believe how many times we get asked that, too. Like if we're out in the grocery store getting gas, we always have people asking us, you know, we'd love to come down, but do you have any, you know, reduced gluten or gluten-free options? And it'd be nice to have that. You know, we have cider.
Yeah.
But wine. To have some of our beers.
We've got cider and curling. but that's lovely. I mean, that is really good. I mean,
thank
I
you.
Can't tell the difference.
Yeah,
The
initial results are good. Not many people can tell.
Yeah.
I think the last run was, I just changed the tap and didn't tell anybody just to see, you know, if somebody would go, so something different about this.
Yeah.
And that was the last test, you know, but.
Yeah.
The blind study.
And then it's done and everything's fine.
Right.
So will this weekend be busy for you guys?
It should be.
So.
Yeah,
let's hope so. Yeah. You going to come out?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always out.
I'll be there.
Yeah, well, they're every Sunday and every other day, but sure.
We've actually got on Sunday, for the folks that... you know, if the Super Bowl doesn't interest them, go Niners, sorry. But if the Super Bowl is not their thing, actually at 5 o'clock at the Cambridge Depot, we do have a concert. It's after hours, so it makes it fun. A fun band called Ampavine, which is a really kind of like the sonic jam band that I've been listening to their stuff on Spotify, and it's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, I just, after my surgery, I just got off Ampavine.
Yes.
Gentlemen, I love you all very much.
Oh, you're
dear friends,
too,
and I thank you so much for being here on a very special day for me. It means the world to me, and you can find out more at argylebrewing.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome back.